Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Several months ago, Lorene and I took a little vacation to Myrtle Beach. And on the way home in our travels, I have a tendency to look at the scenery pretty much. I can't wait till I have one of these cars where I can just sit back and it drives for me. I don't know if I'll ever get that. Probably will never. But anyway, we were driving home. And I saw this billboard, this big billboard. It said, that's all it was on it was guns. Oh, okay. So we went a little further, mile maybe. Next billboard, big billboard, ammo. I was like, huh, okay. There must be a gun shop up ahead. And then I saw a third billboard. And it said, freedom. And I was like, guns, ammo, equal freedom? And anyway, that's where the seed to this message started. You never know when the Spirit leads you. So I was like, Lord, what really is freedom? We are blessed to live in the United States, and we hear a lot about freedom. We have 4th of July, and we hear on the news about freedoms being taken and what freedoms we have. So I thought I would pursue that. I think the Lord has led me to do that. I thought of a couple other stories that happened to me. I think this one story I had already shared, but I think it's a short one, so I think you can hear it again. A few years back, I was, when I was at school, I was on recess duty, probably one of my least favorite things that I did. But I was on recess duty one day with the 1st and 2nd graders. And there's probably a couple of you here that were there. And anyway, so I was overseeing, and just kind of when you're recess supervisor, you kind of watch the children, make sure everybody's behaving, nobody's fighting or anything like that. And I was looking down over the soccer field, and they were playing soccer, and there was pushing, tripping. They were holding the ball, and I was like, whoa. So I went down and I said, what are you guys doing? And they were saying, they said, we're playing no rules soccer. So they thought they had freedom. Years ago, I raised dairy heifers, and I had a neighbor boy helping me, and we bedded the heifers, and we chased the heifers inside to the main barn and then bed and then let the heifers out. Well, he thought I closed the gate, and I thought he closed the gate, and the heifers got out. And most of you know where I live, and beeline right to 322. And it was about all I could do was watch. Okay. I was like, oh man, this isn't going to turn out well. When they got almost to 322, they turned around and they came right back in. By that time, we kind of had, we were standing, we could kind of guide them in. But yeah, it was really not a big deal. Again, was that freedom? Well, the heifers thought they had freedom, but so what my message topic today is true freedom. And we want to look into scripture to really find out what true freedom is. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 4 in our Bibles. I'll tell you one thing right now. We are not going to exhaust this topic. I could have went numerous areas. I could have went numerous ways. I feel like the Lord's leading us in a certain way. I discovered that this whole book, the Bible, is about freedom. It's about redemption, and we want to talk about that. So Luke chapter 4, I'm going to pull in there at verse 16. I will be reading from New Living Translation. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. This is Jesus, of course. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. And these are the key verses that we want to look at this morning. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Let's examine those two verses, verses 18, verses 9 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus came as the Son of God in the body of a man to do God's purposes. And so God gave him the Spirit. It's very important that we understand that. We talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but he was anointed. He was commissioned for this very purpose that Jesus came to the earth. Then he says to bring good news to the poor. Now, was he only, I don't know that this really necessarily means poor as in unwealthy, but being poor, meaning a need, a spiritual need. They had, these people that Jesus was preaching to were people that were open to his preaching. There was a lot of people in Jesus' day who rejected him, who always found fault in his teaching. But here, Jesus is talking through this. These verses were taken out of Isaiah 61, and Jesus was sharing these verses to the people there. And so the people that want to listen to Jesus are the people that are poor. They're sorrowful for their sins. And then he goes on to say, using these verses, he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. And this is where we want to get into talking about freedom. Captives will be released. When we think of captives, we think of a physical situation. For example, in Haiti, when those missionaries were taken captive, they were held hostage. And so they were, they were not free. They were put in a place where they could not do what they wanted to do. And so that is in a physical sense. And we want to get into more of the spiritual sense of what that all means to be captive. Then we move on in this verse. It says, the blind will see. And we all know that Jesus healed numerous blind people. And we could go into those verses that we won't this morning, but he physically healed those people. But I also believe whenever there was a physical thing that Jesus did, there was a spiritual thing behind that. If you recall, when Jesus wanted to heal on the Sabbath, and Jesus said, well, which is, can I forgive sins or can I heal? And so Jesus was doing both. But there was a spiritual sense behind us. The land, the people were in spiritual darkness. And so Jesus wanted to teach them and tell them the truth and tell them things of God, that their eyes would be open, that they would be able to see through this spiritual darkness that they were in. And we want to talk a little bit about that later on in the following verses. And then it goes on to say that the oppressed will be set free. The oppressed. What does it mean to be oppressed? We think of something that's pushed together. It's packed down. If you would run over some soil with heavy equipment, it doesn't grow. I remember a few years back, we hauled manure, And it was about this time of year. And I was like, it'll freeze out. It won't be a big deal. Well, it didn't freeze out. And you could see when the corn grew where those tracks were. It was amazing. Compaction is a bad thing. So when things are oppressed, but that's how we are in a spiritual sense. Many times we're compressed. We have forces of evil attacking us, and we don't know really know what to do. And so Jesus is saying here, the oppressed will be set free. Also, he finishes up, the time of the Lord's favor has come. And this is Jesus sharing that he is here. This time where God talked about back in Isaiah is happening right now. And what a blessing that it is. And it's an opportunity for Jesus to show his plan of redemption, his plan of a relationship with him. And so we want to look at a few more verses. There's a situation back in Exodus. And so let's turn in Exodus. We want to examine a few verses here. As I said, the scripture is full of examples of freedom, of how to be free, and not only in a physical sense, which is great, but I really want to focus on the spiritual sense this morning. Exodus chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. Now, just a little bit of background to these verses. This is God talking to Moses. Moses is in the setting of where the children of Israel, God was going to call them out from Egypt, take them to the promised land. And already they had done some things and made Pharaoh angry. So Pharaoh, if you recall the story, the children of Israel were forced to make bricks. And because of Pharaoh's anger and because of Moses wanting to leave, he made it more difficult to make the bricks. They had to collect their own straw. They used straw to put in the mud to make the bricks. And so here God is speaking to Moses, saying what he's going to do. Just a little background on that. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. Now, you probably notice I put some emphasis on I. I is God speaking here. Very important to understand that. And I also hopefully put a little bit of expression into some of those action verbs. First of all, I will free you from your oppression. Now, you have to understand that this whole idea of the children of Israel moving from Egypt to the promised land was in a physical sense. But as I said before, God uses physical things to teach us spiritual things. And oftentimes we'll go back and we'll say, Egypt was a place of sin, a place of oppression, a place of bondage. And so God brought the children of Israel out from that situation. He also says, I will rescue you from your slavery. Now, the rescue has the idea of pulling someone out of the water or rescuing them, getting them out of a dangerous or a dying situation. And so God also says, I will rescue you from your slavery. Now, slavery, we all know what slavery is. It's slavery where you have somebody that is your the slave is has to obey. He has no freedoms. He has to work. And what's in it's a whole different story. But when you think about history, slavery was abolished in 1860s. I don't know the exact year, 63 or 4 or something like that. When you think about it, not that long ago, not that long ago, in a free nation. And so sometimes we get so involved up in our nation and our national politics. And I'm not, you know, what we want to really focus here today is on what God can do as far as freeing us. The other thing I want to point out is that when you're in bondage, and a lot of you have visited, ministered in prisons, a prisoner has basically no rights, okay? He's in his cell. He's allowed to maybe to go out to yard to exercise, and he goes to eat. That's all he does. Maybe they'll have a job that he can do if he has if he's not a severe criminal that he can do. But he has really no rights. But if that prisoner is a child of God, you can sense it. He's free. He's free. He's free in a spiritual sense. And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but let's move on to the redeem. God says to Moses, I will redeem you with a powerful arm. And we all know the story of all the plagues that he brought onto Egypt. But redeem has the idea of bringing you out from bondage, freeing you from bondage. And then God goes on to say, I will claim you as my own people. Now, this is an interesting thought. God claims the children of Israel through, he promised Jacob and Isaac, Abraham, he promised that he would make a great nation out of them. So he's claiming them. And I kind of had, this is kind of a bad illustration, but when you fly and you have bags, you go to the airport and you go to the baggage claim. You claim your baggage. One time we were flying, our family was flying to Florida, and our daughter Nicole had this kind of a fancy suitcase. It was very different looking. And when we got there, it didn't show up. So we went to the baggage claim there, and they're like, well, and there was a bag there that somebody didn't pick up. And here, a lady had picked up her bag and left her bag. And so they got a hold of the lady, and the lady said, I have my bag. And then we're like, did you open it? Well, no, I didn't open it. But the stuff that was in her bag wasn't going to fit her for sure. God was laying a claim on the children of Israel here. And I believe he wants to claim us. He wants to claim us for his own. And as we see, as we go along here, we've got to make that choice. We've got to allow him to claim us. Another thing that God says in these scriptures, it says, then you will know that I am your God who has freed you from your oppression. There's that word oppression again. But I want to go back to know. I will know. Now, when used in scripture, talks about an intimate relationship. You know, those of you who have been married a long time, okay, Levi, you know your wife pretty good. You know how she responds to certain situations, okay? And that's how it is. That's how God wants us to know him. God wants us to develop that close relationship through Bible reading, through prayer, through fellowshipping with the saints, so that we really know God. in the way that he wants us to. And I think sometimes, many times, we have a false or a wrong way of thinking about God. We don't really know who God is, and we don't have that personal relationship. And maybe it's through history or upbringing, or maybe something that has happened to us, and we'll talk about that later. But we don't have this a healthy view of God. We have a view of God that he has a hammer, and whenever we do something wrong, he's going to bop us on the head. Or we have a view of God that he forgives all sin and everybody is good, and we have that view of God. So we have different views of God, and it can be determined by maybe what people have told us, how our upbringing was, or things that we've read. We need to have a healthy view of God by reading the whole scripture. And we sang that little song, we have a friend in Jesus. And as I was reading the scripture one year, I had decided I was going to try to read through the Bible in a year. And as you read the Old Testament, I had this thought come into my mind that, God, I can't even get close to you because you are such a holy God, and I'm just this little speck, one person in whatever people there are. And, I can't even relate to you. It's impossible. That thought entered my mind, and it was from the enemy. But as we read scripture and the scripture here, then we will know who God is. We will know his attributes. And we don't have time today, but we can go into the attributes of God, and we forget that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, okay, to die for our sins. And so very important to understand and to know that. Let's move on to John. And again, we are not even scratching the surface, so to speak. We want to move to John, and we want to look at some more verses that talk about being set free. And then we want to finish up by learning some things that we need to be set free from. Now, John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Jesus, let me give you just a little bit of background here. Jesus is talking to the Jews, and they were debating, is Jesus the Messiah? They were, they just weren't sure. And one of the things that a lot of the people, the Pharisees and the people that weren't believing in Jesus, is they believed that because they were a Jew, they were privileged. They kind of had an inside track to God. But let's read verse 31 of John 8, and we'll read a couple of verses beyond that as well. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone." "What do you mean? You will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Now, it was kind of interesting. They said, "We have never been slaves to anyone," meaning the Jewish people. Really? They were never slaves. Well, they were slaves in Egypt. They were disobedient, and they were oppressed by Midian, by the Midianites, numerous other countries because of their disobedience. And then finally, they were carried off to Babylon. So they were slaves numerous times. But again, Jesus is, I don't think he's really talking about physical slavery. I think he's talking about spiritual slavery. Because he says here, if you remain faithful to his teachings. So if we follow Christ, if we get into his word, follow his teachings, love our brothers, do good to others, share the gospel, the truth will set us free. And I had to think, if we're following God, if we're following Christ with our whole heart, that brings freedom. If you remember the story of Jonah, God told him to go preach to the Ninevites, and he didn't want to go. So he got on a boat, and he thought he was going to be free. Was he free? No, by no means. He ended up, number one, on a boat. He ended up in belly of a whale, and because of his disobedience, he wasn't free. Then Jesus replied, and I think this, I want to repeat this verse. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin." And then we'll jump down in verse 36. "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Let's dwell on that for the next few minutes. What types of bondage are we in? What types of bondage are we in? And as I was thinking about this, you know, the children of Israel, we just got done talking about, they didn't think they were in bondage. And they were actually, at that point, being oppressed, use that word again, by Rome. And so they really didn't think they were in bondage. Well, we want to look at three different types of bondage that I believe that we can be in. And many times we don't realize it. First of all, as Jesus mentioned, we could have sin in our lives. And we could name off a bunch of sins. We could name off murder, adultery, whatever you want to name. And you're like, whoa, I'm good there. I'm good there. You can feel pretty good. Okay. But what does Jesus say? What does Jesus say? If we hate our brother, if we're angry with our brother, that's like murder. If we look upon a woman, or if we're involved in pornography, that's like adultery. What about addictions? Are we addicted to, we're like, oh, I'm not addicted to alcohol. I'm not addicted to drugs. But are we addicted to maybe an activity that takes us away from God? Another area I think where we can be in bondage is in a financial way. And we have loans, we have mortgages, and I get that. We have businesses where we have loans. But if we get so tied down with financial things, we are in bondage. The Bible teaches that. And if any of you have had a loan or a mortgage and you finish paying it off, that's like a celebration. You're free. The bank does not own you anymore. Okay. So I want to encourage us. Yes, we need the loan. I get that, but let's not be in bondage. Another way we can be in bondage, and kind of tied with that, is our work. Do we get so involved with our work that we don't have time for our family? We don't have time to minister to a neighbor, whatever it might be. You fill in the blanks there. But we can get so tied up with that, that we don't have time to do the Lord's work. And then the final type of bondage that we can get in that really isn't, maybe it doesn't start with our fault, but you know, there's times where we've been hurt by other people. Maybe someone, you know, really said something unkind to us, and it hurt. It hurts. You know, we say that saying, sticks and bones can hurt, but words never hurt. That's not true. Okay, words do hurt. Words do hurt, and sometimes we are hurt. We have pain through that, and if we're not careful, we kind of let that snowball, and we build up resentment, we build up bitterness, we build up pain through that because it hurts. It hurts. And so how do we rid ourselves of that when we feel like we can't maybe even talk to that person, or maybe that person's long gone in the past, we don't even know where they're at, or maybe we've tried, and what do we do? What do we do with that pain? What do we do with that hurt? And it becomes bondage to us. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you that take it to God. Take it to God. He will free you from that. Now you might say, well, no, there's too much hurt. There's too much pain. It's too much. I want you to go back to the children of Israel. They were in bondage for over 400 years. They were oppressed. They were beaten. And God brought them out. Now, I will say this. God led them through the wilderness. He didn't take them to the promised land right away. I think sometimes as Christians, we expect immediate healing, you know, pop a pill and we're good. And it doesn't always happen that way. It takes prayer. It takes effort. It takes counseling. It takes encouragement. It takes, you can do this. So I kind of came across this in some of the teaching through Encourage Men. And this is more in a husband-wife relationship where, you know, us husbands sometimes, you know, we're insensitive. We hurt our wives, and we have to acknowledge that we've hurt them and we've created pain. And so we have to ask for forgiveness in that. But if that doesn't happen, what, you know, how do we handle that? And so I believe this morning, I want you to examine yourself. And, you know, is there something that you're in bondage to? Is there something that you feel oppressed? You feel the sides all caving in around you. And God wants to deliver you. I truly believe that, whatever it might be. And I've gone through a couple of things. I can testify that, you know, things were said, hurt has happened. And if you're not careful, you become in bondage to that. I knew how it was in my life. And you're in bondage to that. Don't let that continue on. Come to the Lord. He wants to free you of that. So let's look back over the three things, okay? Sin. Is there any sin that God wants to free you of? Whatever that might be. Is it financial related, work related? Are we putting all our emphasis on that? And then finally, if you feel like, you know, you've been wronged, you've been hurt, you can't explain it, but there's something there. I trust this morning that you would share with someone after church this morning, that you would share what that would be, because God wants to deliver you. He doesn't want you oppressed. That is the enemy. Okay, that is the enemy that wants you to stay in that state. I have a song, and Dan, you can, I'd like you to read, or not read, sing, There's Power in the Blood. So if you want to grab that, I should have talked to you earlier. But there's a song, this is for you, youth. Listen to good Christian music. There's a song that I listened to years and years ago, and I found the words, and so I'm going to read them today. It's called Old Man's Rubble. Anybody hear that song? It was a song pretty popular back in the, I've got some youth. Yeah, you know that? All right. It was actually written, I didn't realize this until I looked up the words. It was written by Amy Grant, but I heard the Imperials sing it, and some of you older people that would know the Imperials, they sang it. And so it's a really good song, kind of got a catchy tune. And but I want you to listen carefully to the words. Are you walking with unnecessary burdens? Are you trying to take them upon yourself? If you are, then you're living in bondage, and you know that's bad for your spiritual health. Are you trying to live by your emotions? Are you putting your faith in what you feel and see? Then you're living just to satisfy your passions, and you better be careful because you're being deceived. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? If you are, then you're headed for trouble. If you listen too long, you'll eventually die. Are you puzzled by the way that you're behaving? Do you wonder why you do the things you do? Are you troubled by your lack of resistance? Do you feel that something's got a hold on you? Well, deep within you, there's a spiritual battle. There's a voice of the darkness and a voice of the light. And just by listening, you've made a decision, because the voice you hear is going to win the fight. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? If you are, then you're headed for trouble. If you listen too long, you'll eventually die. Now, one of the things I really like about this song, it goes on the positive. I want to finish up. If you're living as a new creation, if you're listening to the father of light, then you're living in a mighty fortress, and you're going to be clothed in power and might. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your desire to free us from bondage. Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody here that feels oppressed, that feels like they're in bondage, I just pray that you would help them to share it with someone, share it with one of the ministry, or share it with someone that they feel close to. Because, Lord, you want to deliver us. You want to set us free. And Father, I just pray that you would move through our midst, guide us, direct us, lead us to your throne of grace because of your great love for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.